Hey, it's Carlos Cavallo. Welcome back. This is, of course, your favorite podcast in the universe. This is the DatingAdviceGuru.com podcast with secrets to unlock his heart. And today I've got a very special podcast. Usually you're used to hearing me drone on about some particular topic or something cool that I thought was worth relating. But today we're going to do the same sort of thing, only I'm presenting a person. And his name is Sean, and he's from the website altershift.com. And we're going to talk a little bit about something pretty cool. It's kind of sciencey on one end, but on the other end, it's actually very practical and applicable to dating and relationships. How you doing, Sean?
Hi, Carlos. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, no problem. It's great to have you. Tell us a little bit about where you're coming from. You know, what brought you to this work with dating and relationships and NLP, which we'll talk about in a minute. How did you get to come into this?
Yeah, absolutely. So a few years ago, I found myself being pretty lonely. I'm not really able to communicate with other people. Mm-hmm. And so I started having conversations with other people. I started learning how to be successful with women, with other people in relationships. And soon enough, I found this conversation guide and these techniques in neurolinguistic programming that I really got into deeply and I learned a lot about that really transformed the way that I looked at relationships.
Now, before we lose any of the ladies out there that might be going, oh my God, what neuro-linguistic programming? This sounds like brain surgery. Can you talk a little bit about what NLP is? I mean, I've got a background in it, but maybe some of our listeners don't. Tell us what NLP is all about.
Yeah, sure thing. And so I just basically see it as ways that you can better become a communicator, and that's a communicator with yourself and a communicator with others. Mm-hmm. What it really looks at is unconscious communication, what you're really telling yourself that you're not aware of, what you're telling other people that they're not aware of, or maybe you're not even aware of either. And it's bringing these things to the forefront so you can be consciously aware of the message that you're telling to other people.
This obviously has nothing to do with hypnosis. It has to do with how words relate to our emotions and how we communicate. I always tell people that it's like using emotionally charged vocabulary. You know, when you hear somebody throw out a racial slur or a bit of profanity, that's really NLP at work, because you've got that anchored in your body as having a certain meaning, even though it's just a word. You know, if you said a swear word in another language, you wouldn't even know you were saying it until you realize it. Then you're like, oh, and then you start to associate that feeling of, oh, I got to be careful about using that word. So can you tell us a little bit more about how NLP can help women create the kind of relationships they want to connect with men the way they want?
Yeah, absolutely. And the first place that I look at is the hidden messages that they're telling somebody. So you mentioned before that, you know, there's these secret charges to words that we use, such as swear words. And Tony Robbins talks about them as well in his use of profanity. Mm-hmm. But there's also charges that we use in everyday language, where if you're with somebody and you've had a habitual pattern of saying one thing, or maybe they had the experience of having those words mean something to them, we may not know exactly what it's meaning for them in our communication. So sometimes we run in the situation where we're talking with somebody and we use a word that just kind of triggers them. If we're more aware of what's going on with them and what those words mean to them, we can find words that not necessarily trigger them, but trigger them in a positive way.
Can you give us an example how you could do that?
Yeah, so for example, if a woman and a man are together, and I often find this is probably the best example, if she really wants him to do something for her, maybe it's something like taking out the trash or just taking care of family responsibilities. Mm-hmm. If she's able to reward him for doing that every time with positive behavior instead of negative behavior for him not doing it, it's going to mean far more for him being able to do that or him not forgetting to go ahead and do that. So, for example, she wants him to take out the trash after dinner or something like that every Thursday. When she doesn't complain and nag about it, and this is just anchoring those negative feelings to taking out the trash, and anchoring is just associating that negativity, those negative emotions with her nagging, with her request of the trash. If instead she is positive and happy and encouraging after he does something such as taking out the trash, then he's going to be that much more able to look forward to taking out the trash and enjoy doing it because he knows that positive feelings are associated with that act.
So it's kind of a little bit of conditioning, right?
Some conditioning can be achieved in it as well. And what's important to know is that our emotions, they're always being associated with the words or the actions, the communications that we're doing with somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
So you can condition over time and show somebody positivity being associated with what they're doing for you in a relationship. And more importantly, it could take one time to trigger some kind of negative emotions and associate those negative emotions with you. And also it can take just one time for all those positive emotions to be associated with you.
Yeah, that's very true. And if you look at it and think about it, there's just so few words that are truly neutral in our meaning. We either generally have a positive or negative charge around a lot of the words we use. The more common words, obviously, are just somewhat neutral, but there's a lot of words that go either end of the spectrum. What, when it comes to communication and getting what a woman wants, there are certain phrases, not even just words, whole phrases that impact a man and his ability to give her what she wants. I'll give you one for example. This is one that I educate women to a lot, and that is the phrase, we need to talk, which kind of immediately inspires a certain flare of fear in a man, and it doesn't have a positive experience, let's just put it that way. Can you give an example of how a woman might turn that around? Because there is a time for them to have talks, and just putting it out that way can make a man feel like he's being called on the carpet and he's in trouble or something. How could a woman rephrase that to get what she wants?
Yeah, definitely. So I look at that phrase, we need to talk, and immediately that triggers me as well.
Mm-hmm.
But the message behind that phrase, and so it's not only just that phrase, but it's every phrase that you're planning on using that might trigger somebody,
mm-hmm.
but it's the message behind that phrase. And so when I hear we need to talk, it triggers a different message than just the we need to talk. It's oh no, something's going on, something's underneath the surface, there's some kind of trouble. And maybe it associates also a feeling of going back to childhood and being in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the message behind it. And so with every message, there's going to be more messages associated with it.
Mm.
And so I would say before a woman says something like that, they look at what they really want to communicate with their partner. Is it that they need to talk? Is it that they're in trouble? Or is it they just need to discuss something? And that can be achieved many more ways than we need to talk. And what's important is to get the right outcome that you want. And so it's not necessarily about triggering fear or inspiring some kind of doubt or uncertainty with the man, but it's communicating to them the importance of her expressing her feelings. So a different scenario, what she could say in that instance is, I have something to express to you, or I have something important that I want to express about this situation.
Hmm.
That's a little bit more clear and understandable, and I can relate with that much better.
Yeah, it's a lot less open-ended. And it also takes out, what I hear in your words, is that it takes out a lot of the emotional urgency, which is another part that I think men hear. When a woman says, we need, well, she's already, number one, made a decision for him, and number two, the need factor, well, that's another one of those things that makes a guy just kind of stiffen up and go, so, yeah, I can definitely see that being a big part of it. Just rephrasing the whole thing so it doesn't sound like what we're already conditioned to kind of reject and push away.
Yeah, at the same time, I would also point towards some kind of behavior where it's making the communication personal.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes people say things like, you're so mean, or you're so negative. And what this is really doing is attacking somebody at an identity level,
mm-hmm.
where when you really want to talk with them and express your feelings, when what you don't like is their behavior, or that behavior was so mean, or I didn't like it when you did this behavior, and this behavior made me feel this way. When you go in that direction, it's a lot less personal, and people can relate to that a little bit better than the identity level attack, where you're really hurting the core of who they are, because the woman really isn't going to be, you know, mad with his identity, because, you know, it's who he is, who she likes, who she's with in a relationship. But it's usually just the specific behaviors that she has a problem with.
You know, a lot of people talk about rapport and relationships and their ability to connect, especially women, of course, to make that kind of connection with their significant other. What is it within a relationship? How does that work, that sense of connection and rapport that a woman wants to achieve?
Yeah, so it's always there. And in a relationship, it just grows and grows. And the amount of rapport that you can achieve in a relationship is just absolutely fascinating. Studies have shown that married couples, or couples that spend years together sleeping in the same bed, have synchronized their breathing patterns when they're sleeping together. So this level of rapport is just unconscious. Them being together and being associated so closely achieves that kind of connection, that symbiosis, where they're the same. And then this is just always going on. And what we need to be aware of is it's not necessarily a conscious process, but it happens subconsciously, and we just need to allow this connection to happen. And so basically how I see rapport is it's just sameness. And so it's a recognition of being the same. And so when things aren't the same, you can go for such things as understanding. So say you're in a relationship with a man and you don't necessarily understand or agree with his behavior. At that point, you can achieve rapport by going for understanding. When you at least understand what he's going through, maybe you don't like the fact that he does hunting or has some kind of hobby that you can't stand. But if you understand it, then that's going to bring a level of sameness or rapport to your relationship, where you guys can at least connect on maybe a higher level idea. Maybe it's not the specifics of hunting, but it's a specifics of, this is how I live my life, and I'm passionate about this because it's a chase, a thrill of the hunt, a thrill of the challenge.
Yeah, there's different kinds of rapport out there too, like what you're saying. There's an emotional rapport where you're both feeling very similar, you're having similar feelings, whether it's, you know, love, connection, whatever. Then there's things you can talk about, there's the subjects and topics that make you feel like you're like another person, like you share the same hobby or whatever that thing may be, and that creates the emotional connection there, that emotional rapport.
Exactly, Carlos, you said it just right.
So what is, we talked about, or we kind of hinted at it when we were talking about the quote-unquote conditioning. I don't want that to sound like we're really conditioning a guy like on a Clockwork Orange or something here, but we do condition people to respond to us in certain ways. What is it with the topic of anchoring? Because that is one of the areas I think most women will be familiar with and be able to connect with in this topic of NLP. What is anchoring within NLP and how to use it in a relationship?
Yeah, so anchoring is just any kind of external outside event that triggers an internal emotional response. So common examples here is if you hear a song from when you were spending time with a partner from before, maybe it was a love years ago, and you hear that song that reminds you of them years later, you think of that person, that experience you had, you have those internal feelings that you shared with that person through that external experience, that song that you hear. And so in a relationship, this is always happening. Usually the first, second, third, the beginning of a relationship is going to be nothing but positivity, where you guys are going on dates, experiencing laughing, joy, and just connecting together. And when this happens, you associate all those positive feelings with that person. Simply put, that's anchoring, associating those feelings with that person. They are anchored to those joyous, funny memories for you. And so as you go along in a relationship, if there's such things as fighting or yelling, screaming, those kind of things, those negative associations to those feelings are going to be associated with your partner as well. And so what I typically aim to do is have others limit those negative feelings and just embrace as many positive feelings with your partner as possible.
And it touches back on what you were saying before about the whole nagging and things like that. If a guy is conditioned or anchoring his emotional state to, you know, if I, a lot of women think that he's anchoring in a negative emotional state to not taking out the garbage, but what in fact he's doing is simply avoiding that whole garbage thing completely and not even going there in his head, because that's where he runs into the, oh, geez, here she's going to talk to me about it again. Even if I do take it out, it wasn't soon enough for her, you know, stuff like that. And the topic of anchoring is something I think we can all relate to when it comes to, because I talk to women about anchoring in the bedroom. One of the worst things you can do is to anchor a negative state to your bed. You don't want to ever have an argument while you're in bed with your significant other, because then you start to anchor that state to being in bed, and then, of course, it can impact your sex life and your intimacy overall.
Exactly. I got one quick example, too, for you. I had a man that I was working with who would come home from work every day, and he would talk about his boss and how negative the work environment was. He would just complain for 15 to 30 minutes every time that he came home from work. And what this really did is it anchored all these negative feelings, such as disagreements, you know, all these feelings that you'd get from complaining at work. She would come to associate those negative feelings with her husband coming home from work. And so soon enough, she didn't look forward to her husband coming home from work as much, because she knew that he was going to complain and talk about all these negative things. She started to associate these negative feelings with him coming home from work.
Oh, yeah. Well, thanks, Sean. This has been some really great information. I, of course, encourage women to find out more about it. Do you have any last thoughts on the topic?
Yeah, I find it absolutely fascinating. And this communication goes so deep. When you really take a conscious look at what's going on behind the surface, there's so much more there. There's so many mixed messages, and it's absolutely fascinating to look at, to learn, and to really be able to connect better with other people.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. Well, tell them one more time where women can find more information about. Give your website.
Yeah, my name is Sean Schweier, and you can find me at www.altershift.com. And that's altershift.com, altershift.com.
That's great. Thank you very much, Sean. I appreciate you being on the show and sharing your expertise with the ladies today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right. Talk to you again soon.
DatingAdviceGuru.com, the Dating Advice Guru podcast and YouTube content, and all content herein is copyright Morpheus Productions, LLC. Feel free to contact Carlos at www.datingadviceguru.com, on the forum, or click the Ask Carlos link on the site. We welcome your comments and questions.